If I forget, before I forget, the Sunday school papers are up on the table when we are all done with Sunday school. Go right there and get yourself a copy, okay? Well, we have our little hymn sheet this morning. I'm going to see if we can sing a few songs. I guess there's a bunch of children's favorites on the back page. Who has a choice? 25, number 25. Let's sing the first and the last verse of 25.
Love that best is best. Like the falling of a leaf, like the winding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, death and I will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Be in time, be in time, while the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If it's sin you longer wait, you may find an open gate, and your cry be just too late, be in time. If there be the warning voice, make the Lord your happy choice, then all heaven will rejoice, be in time. Come from darkness into light, from the way that seemeth right, come and spark your empty night, be in time. Be in time, be in time, while the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late, be in time.
Four.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Salvation's
Another one? Go ahead. Say it again. Can you show me? Number 15. Let's sing the first and last of number 15. Ernie, will you start?
Blessed gospel
about "Be in Time," and now we just sang about "Yet There Is Room." There will come a day when there is no longer any time to accept Jesus. We're either in Christ or we're in our sins. Simple. Is there any middle ground between there? No, God doesn't see any. Are you in Christ? Last night, we heard some wonderful things in the gospel, didn't we? I want to go ask some questions about that in a minute, but first we want to say our verses. And we'll take time to do a few. Who would like to say their verse? Okay. You hold this.
Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea.
Have some help.
Yea, by wine and milk, without money, without price. Isaiah 55, verse 1.
Excellent. Who else would like to say the verse?
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13.
Very nice. Another choice? Who else wants to say the verse? You sure? Oh, sorry. Can you hold that? Can somebody give us a starting word? Go ahead.
His way is perfect.
Thank you. That's beautiful. We can say God's way is perfect, can't we? What better thing could you have than to be brought up in a family that loves the Lord Jesus? Just think. A lot of kids in this world, their moms and dads don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know the Lord as their Savior. But here, God's way is perfect, and your children are on the front row, and you want to hear that message of salvation. God's way is perfect. And he's provided a way so we can come to God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. First, let's talk about what happened last night. Were you kids at the gospel meeting last night? All you kids at the gospel? I'm going to ask you some questions. The man talked about a jailer. He talked about a prison. And there was a great what?
Earthquake.
Wow, were you kind of shaken by the story he told? Oh. The jailer... Wouldn't you? The jailer, he was shaken, wasn't he? I mean, why was he bothered when he felt this earthquake and all the doors swung open? He was supposed to watch over the prisoners, right? He thought they had escaped, and he knew that it would cost him his life, right? So it was music to his ears to find out that, hey, we're all here. Don't worry. Now my question is, what did the jailer say next? Exactly. I'm going to put this on here again. I'm having trouble with this switch. There we go. What did the jailer man say?
What must I do to be saved?
Ah. And what was the answer to that question?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Boy, you can't get any clearer than that, can you? You know, in Genesis chapter 22, I just want to mention a couple of things here. It's a story about Abraham and Isaac. Isaac, remember, he was the little boy that Abraham had in his family. And it's a boy that he had prayed for many a year. Finally, God granted his request and his wife, and they had the little boy, Isaac. One day, God said, Abraham, he said, yes, I want you to go and take your little boy, Isaac, and I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice to me. You think that was a hard thing for Abraham to hear? Wow. His only boy. Let's see what he says. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So they started out. Abraham said, no, I'm not going to do that. No, he just obeyed. Just started right out. And he gets to just about to the place. In verse 5, he says to his young men that were with him, you stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and will come again to you. Ooh, there's a little sign that he had faith, didn't it? So they got to hiking up the last little bit on that hill to where he was going to perform this. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And the boy said, behold, there's the fire, here's the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? What did the father say back to him? Does anybody remember? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Why do we need a burnt offering? If we want to approach God, we need an offering, or you don't get to approach him. Who is the one who is the perfect offering? What's his name? Isaac in that story would have been a perfect answer. But for us, who is the perfect offering? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. God provided himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Well, what is it that God can't have in his presence? If you're going to go up to be where God is, what cannot be there?
Sin.
It's the old question about sin. It always boils down to this question. So, what did the man say, the jailer man say, what must I do to be saved? And what was the answer? Who can tell me the answer to his question? Believe. Last night at Gospel, that was the Gospel gotten down to one word, and that word was believe. That's right. On the little card here that was given to us, I was looking at it and I saw the verse down at the bottom, Romans 8:32. You want to turn over to that one? Romans 8:32 says this: He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So that kind of ties in with the story about Abraham and Isaac, doesn't it? That's a good illustration of God and his beloved son. And so, God spared not his own son. Abraham didn't have to finally offer up Isaac, did he? No, there was a ram caught in the bushes, remember? Well, there was no ram caught in the bushes when it came time for the Lord Jesus to offer himself up. He had to go through with it, didn't he? So, because of that, we can talk about verse 1 of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If we hadn't had that perfect sacrifice on the cross, we wouldn't be able to say, now there is no condemnation or judgment, could we? I have something that I want to see if you can guess what it might be. It's kind of a picture here. I won't show it to you right at this minute, but first I'm going to give you a couple of hints and see if you can maybe guess what I'm going to talk about. I'll read you two verses and then you think about them and that'll be a big hint of what it will be. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That's hint number one. The next verse I'll read: for God, he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. So here's the question. Can you think of a picture of that in the Old Testament that would illustrate those verses? Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, and he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, I'll tell you one more verse and this will make it clear to you. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Lord be lifted up. I'll just put this up here so we can all see it. Now I have some questions. If you look at that snake on that pole, what would you think that's supposed to represent? Does anybody have an idea? Well, let's look at the account in Numbers chapter 20. And we'll see, Numbers 21. The children of Israel were journeying from Egypt to the land of Canaan, right? So it was a long, hot journey. And God said, I'm going to take you from here over to there, and I have a wonderful land to give to you. Just do what I tell you. So they started their long journey. And every time they had a problem and needed something, God provided the thing that they needed. But, you know, people got to complaining, and they're saying, Moses, you and God have just brought us out here in this wilderness to kill us. We're thirsty, and we don't have anything to eat, and on they went with their complaining. Well, God could listen only to so much of this after about 38 years or so. Here's where we put into chapter 21 of Numbers. And in verse 5, the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. What about the rock where Moses smote the rock and the water just flowed out for them? What else did he give them to eat? Manna, that white little wafery thing that fell on the dew in the morning. Took some effort, didn't it, for the people to gather it up, but they had exactly what they needed. But then it says, our soul loatheth this light bread. That talked about the Lord Jesus. That's what the manna represented. And it's like they were saying, we don't like what you have to offer us. And so complain, complain, complain. So look what happens in verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now here's what the Lord said. Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. What a strange thing to ask. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent. He got busy, and he had people who knew how to work with copper or brass. And they pounded out a thing that looked like a snake, and he put it up on a pole. And then look what happens. Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent, he lived. Wow. When those people were walking in the rocky ground, there would be a sting in their leg, and oh no, there's no remedy for this. I am going to die. I know it. Except for what we read. The command was, just look. You will live. Amazing. God sent the fiery serpents in the first place, but he sent the remedy for the serpent bite. And what was it? Was it anything big and hard to do? No. All you had to do was raise your eyes and look. What's God asking you kids to do today? Look to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know, if you talk just about the metal that they made this thing out of, they call it copper or brass or copper. It's a material that really is good in the fire. It stands heat. Like when they made the altar out by the tabernacle to make their animal offerings, it coated with copper, with brass. It could take high temperature very well. So it also speaks, because if it was used on an altar speaks of judgment, right? You're going to bring an animal to the priest, and he's going to slay it and light the fire under it and burn it all up. Well, it talks about judgment. So just the material used for this thing speaks to our hearts about the judgment of God against sin. Okay, let's talk about the shape that it was put into. He said, make a serpent out of this good material and then put it on a pole. Well, what's the serpent speak of? Is that something good? Is a serpent, a snake, good? You know, when in Garden of Eden, when the devil came, he came in the shape of a serpent, and he talked to the lady, Eve, and Adam got involved. But that is Satan himself. And so here's the serpent. It represents sin. And so the verse that we started with that said, for he hath made him to be sin for us, it's as though you say, well, if you were going to represent something that represents Jesus on the cross, why wouldn't you put something like a man on a pole? But this gives you a little different look at it. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he was hung there, wasn't he? And when men did everything they could do, there was nothing left that they hadn't done. He was unrecognizable as a human because they had treated him so awfully. Then what did God do when it came time to, in those three dark hours? God like turned off the lights. Says, you're not going to watch what's happening while my son dies for your sins. But when we look at this, it's like, well, the lights are still on and we can sort of see what happened to the Lord Jesus. He was made sin. And he was made sin for you if you will accept him. And so there he is. And what does sin in God's sight? It's just something cannot be tolerated, is it? It's the most horrible thing. Well, so if his beloved son was made sin for you, it's like he bore the punishment for that sin. And that, I guess, in my mind, is a fitting example of sin itself and being judged in the brass. Totally underwent the full judgment of God. So that what? So that you can have your sins put away and that you can be with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory if you have him. But what did he say? He that looketh shall live. If you're not interested and say, well, I got better things to do, you won't even raise your eyes to the Savior. What a terrible attitude that would be. What an insult to God if God says, here's what I've provided for you. I recognize you have a need. Maybe you don't know yet. And we hope the Lord would, by his Spirit, would trouble each of you children about this need of a Savior. And so God said, I see your need. Here is my provision for you. You don't have to do anything hard. Just look. You felt the bite of sin, and that poison from that bite is going through your body, and you know you've got just minutes left at the most to live. What a provision. They didn't have to pay a bunch of money. They didn't have to do any act or feat of strength. They just had to look. Simple. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Wow. So the combined serpent on the pole is a very good picture of the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross for us. And God took our sin. If you want to accept Jesus right now, it's like it's already been done. God knew about this. And he said, I'm going to take your sins and I'm going to go put them on my son, the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to punish him as your substitute, so you don't have to receive that punishment. And then you can be in Christ. So there again, you either are in your sins or you are in Christ. Which would you rather have? It's your choice. Remember, there's no third choice. You just have to say, I will accept thee, Lord Jesus. I am the sinner you came here to save. Are you willing to tell Jesus that? If you are, that's putting your faith in him. It's like the gospel last night. Just believe. You just look at the Savior. You know, we need to pray. I'm sorry we didn't pray. Let's look to the Lord Jesus. Our God and Father, we just thank thee for this illustration of the serpent upon a pole. And we thank thee for the simple solution for the people that had been bitten. We've all been bitten by the snake bite of sin, our God. We own it to thee. We recognize our need, and we pray these children will come to the point of recognizing their need. And we pray, Father, that they will just be given the faith to behold the Lamb of God, to look and live. We pray this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to choose a song. Can we turn to number 26 in our hymn sheet? There is life in a look at the crucified one. There's the Lord Jesus on the cross. Just look and live. Let's sing number 26. There is life
in a
So when we look, we are brought nigh to God in the person of His Son. We thank the Lord Jesus for His provision. When we think of the love that God had for us, that He would have been willing to have His Son take our place, that's an amazing love. You couldn't find love that's anywhere equal to that in this whole universe. And we can enjoy it. A person who doesn't know their Lord, the Lord as their Savior, he has no way to glorify God. He has no way to come nigh God. He needs that perfect sacrifice. And Jesus is the sinless sacrifice. And He just meets our need. And this is an offer that doesn't leave anybody out. It's to everyone here. The Lord Jesus loves you, children. He loves you very, very much. And He would like you to be with Him in the glory soon. So we can, as Christians, we can lift our voices in praise, can't we, to the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done. We can honor the Father by speaking well of the Lord Jesus. And I'm thinking of just a verse of one hymn. I'll read it to you. You all know it by heart. It's 224, verse 3. Our hearts can go out in this way. We can say, astonished at Thy feet we fall. Thy love exceeds our highest thoughts. Henceforth be Thou our all in all, Thou who our souls with blood hast bought. May we henceforth more faithful prove and never forget Thy ceaseless love. Let's commit us to the Lord now. Once again, loving Father, we thank You for this perfect provision for our need in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His atoning death on Calvary's cross. We thank Thee for the hope of soon being with the Lord Jesus in glory. Father, our hearts just are bursting with thanksgiving for such a deliverance. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful gift of eternal life. And we thank Thee for Thy love to all these children. And we pray that Thou wilt encourage them as they grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord amongst Christian families. And help us now to be in a humble and thankful spirit as we look forward to remembering the Lord Jesus and His death for us. We give Thee our thanks and praise once again, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.